You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead. Enjoy the show. Podcast.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Joe Rogan Experience Review listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/review. In 2021, mental health is finally a thing. So many people are struggling right now and aren't feeling like their normal selves. Therapy helps. And it doesn't have to be sitting around just talking about your feelings. So what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. You can privately talk to someone if you feel like you're not dealing well with your stress or you're having relationship issues. Whatever you need. Don't be ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better. Because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. You can keep it private that way. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is all about. See if it's for you, because you are your greatest asset. Again, that's betterhelp.com/review. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Got some great pods this week.
Hell yeah.
To be honest, maybe one of my favorites. What did you think of the Jewel one?
I mean, like we were saying, her upbringing, epic, right? Like, completely.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that was it was like one of those National Geographic explanations from firsthand as a kid growing up in that.
Who would have thought that? I mean, I don't know. I guess I just didn't know anything about Jewel.
Right.
Like, knowing that she grew up as basic as you can imagine.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what an experience that must have been. And look at, you know, what it did and, like, how...
By basic...
It shaped
by
her.
Basic people, we mean probably the most non-basic by LA standards possible. Like, the most... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The most connected, I wouldn't say. But I agree with what you're saying. It's like,
to be honest, it was one of the most fascinating JREs I'd ever heard. And I think Joe even said that at the end. He's like, this might be one of the best pods we've ever done. And I couldn't agree more.
100%.
Unbelievable. I definitely have a crush on that bird, Joe.
Yeah, I was.
For sure.
I was very involved in that one. Just, she's an artist. No way around it.
Yeah, I couldn't turn it off. Like, usually, because, you know, when you listen to all of them, and then you got to review them at the end of the week. I mean, not got to. We don't have to do this, but we like to. You know, it's like you got to break it up through your day. And I would get home from whatever I was doing after listening to it for a bit, and I just leave it on. Like, I could not stop that one.
Right.
It was just so...
inspiring, too. Like,
yeah. I mean, how many turns did it take?
Just moving to San Diego... And then, like, she's like, I was playing down in Cabo. I think she's like, went to Mexico. It's just like, that's the coolest story you could ever tell, right?
It sounds like her family is definitely badass.
Right. All of them.
Like, even if she had her troubles with her dad, and obviously her mom, you know, stole a lot of money, which we'll get to. But, I mean, they definitely are tough people.
That's she's for sure. Resilient as fuck.
Right? That's about as resilient as it gets.
Right.
How long did she say she lived in her car for? Homeless? For a year?
I think she said a year. I mean, she's talented. Like, it seems like it wouldn't, I don't want to say it wouldn't take long, but she's distinct in her voice, too. So it seemed like it was just a matter of time. But the way she described that, it's like, you got to eat shit for a while. I got to eat some more shit because it seems like my life's been kind of easy. It's like, sometimes you got to, like, I don't know. hearing stories.
Yeah, if it gets easy, you're definitely not eating enough.
Hearing
shit.
Stories That's like that, sure. I need to shovel some more shit. It's like, come on. But it's inspiring to hear that, you know what I mean?
You know, it's nice. I think we all work towards it being easy. That's what everybody wants. You want it to be comfortable and easy. I just don't know if there's much growth there.
Right.
I think things don't change.
Sure.
It's just it's the same.
Correct.
I mean, I've definitely had periods of time where I felt, well, we were talking about it earlier, feeling like lucky, fortunate, having things kind of fall into place.
Right.
And when you look at that time, even though it was fun, there wasn't a lot of change. You don't change anything.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is all right.
Right.
Just keep this all the same.
Yeah, I guess that's.
Didn't she say her grandfather was a senator?
Right.
Became a senator, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then they walked across 200 sure. miles of Alaska. What?
The way she told it was like.
How is that even possible?
The poise that she had with that story, too. It wasn't like. I guess when you're going through that situation, I guess that kind of is a testimonial to life, but it's one of those situations.
Well, it just becomes normal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's like more normalized.
Exactly.
When she told that story of her grandma killing the cat that ate all the cheese,
right.
It's like the cheese is gone, so let's kill the cat. Get the cheese back out of its stomach, eat the cat. I'm like, wait, what?
I mean, that makes sense, but.
I mean, I like cheese, but I guess if that's all the cheese, then maybe that's the way to do
right.
it. Unreal, though.
200.
You know, and she does point that out. Like, I live in Bozeman, Montana, so people often talk about, like, the connection with the land growing up. You know, going hunting or camping and hiking in the mountains, like connecting with that land. And she kind of draws a lot from that.
Absolutely.
With, in a way to suggest that there's like strength in that.
I'm
like there's something that you get that kind of allows you to have a certain type of perspective always.
Right. I think that kind of coincides with the resilience thing too. Whenever you're put in one of those circumstances where cold is an issue. Like, it's going to be an issue. You know what I mean? Especially for people that aren't accustomed to it. So, I mean, living there and being you become accustomed to it, but.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why the depression is, like she said, just, you know, off the charts right now and growing, you know, rapidly every year, but definitely since the pandemic. I mean, you know, we are getting more disconnected in a sense, if you think about it, and especially from nature.
Right.
I just never thought about that in the terms of like that connecting to nature is this super valuable thing. I mean, to be honest, I don't even really know what it means. It's like, what, get out in the mountains?
I mean, I'm an advocate of hiking. I gotta be honest, I haven't done a lot of it out here. I find myself in the gym atmosphere. I don't know. I try and spend a lot of time outside, but I don't know.
There's actually a lot of good hiking there, right. Man. You should do it.
We're headed to Arizona this next week, like I said, and we're going to do some hiking out there. I'm excited. But yeah, I know there's a bunch out here.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, there's Runyon Canyon,
right.
I think it's called. That's good. Then there's Will Rogers Park, kind of on the way to Malibu. That's a really nice spot.
I think there's a certain value in that, especially like camping and whatnot. Like the way Joe describes hunting, we were talking about maybe doing a hunting trip, but I think there's got to be some value when you're living off the land to some extent. Like kind of the survival man like mindset kind of sets in a little bit, right? And then I can see some value,
but it also sounds incredibly difficult.
Yeah,
I mean, to be fair,
without a doubt,
like barely running water, like you're catching all of your food. I mean, talk about going to basics.
Yeah, everything.
You know?
Everything.
Like, every day is like a blessing if you,
yeah,
you can feed yourself.
You value everything. You value a dead wreck.
Well, what was crazy is when she talked about her dad going to Vietnam, and that was actually the calmest he'd felt because his childhood was so crazy. It's like, what? How rough was your childhood?
Hearing that statement was just like, I'm glad that set in with you too, because when I heard that, I was kind of set aback that, okay, whenever you find peace in war, basically,
that's a quandary. Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Somebody.
Yeah. It's a strange one. It's unusual. You know, but then look at her life. So she leaves. I think her dad was like kind of abusive. Yeah. She left. She's at that point faced with you know, either dealing with him or just going off on her own and like making it work. So then she's stealing a lot.
Oh, I know that story was interesting. It was so transparent too. I loved how she told that story. There was no hang-ups in the story. She was like, this is what I was going through. This is what happened, and this is what made me who I am.
Yeah, she didn't make a lot of excuses
None of it.
I mean, she said, look, I'm not proud of it, but
that's what I was.
But at the same time, I had to do it.
I appreciate that transparency in people. Like, there's a lot to be said. I think that what you were talking about, not wanting to turn it off, when you hear that in her voice, you're like, oh, I can relate to that. I can understand that. That makes sense. Because we all try and put on these, like,
well, yeah, but at the same time, you know, then she wanted to kill herself. She talked about. And then the really sad thing is, what was she, 19? And she's saying that life is just long and it's going to be painful. Yeah. Like, that's a rough one to think about. Yeah. Like, think of most people at 19. The world's your oyster. You've got so much time ahead of you. You could be anything that you want to be. Like, there's a lot of, like, built-in hope. And, you know, she didn't get to have that.
True. Again, she bounced back like a god dang champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well, she raised that $10,000 to go to that school, which is pretty badass. Didn't know how anything worked. Had a knife on her. They're like, what? You can't have a knife?
I will kill a squirrel at the moment's notice.
The story of her getting, like, when her kidneys got bad.
Yeah.
And then she went to the hospital, and the... like, they wouldn't help her there. Ugh. And she was, like 1 or 2 days away from dying. That's awful to hear.
That's a rough one.
Like, thank God for that one doctor that saved her and, like, took care of her for a while.
See?
I don't know, guys. I was, like, moved by
absolutely
conversation, for sure.
It just seemed like it fell into place for her. It seemed like that rough shit had to happen, and somehow, I mean...
Would I'm sure it helped her.
You know what I mean? When she's talking about traveling up and down the coast, and she would just like sit down and write songs about like what was going on and the people she saw and about the songs like that she would write about it. It's like, that's so awesome. I follow a couple other like freestyle rappers online that have done that in Venice here, and it's kind of fun. It's like right in the moment, and it was awesome hearing her say that, because that was like the prequel to what I'm doing now. But she would be sitting on the boardwalk writing songs about people walking by, and her voice is so distinct. So I mean, it was just a matter of time, and like her ability is off the charts.
What's brutal about that though is in a lot of ways it's the same as comedians. It's like, for every one of these people that make it through, there's 99 untold stories that didn't end this way.
Right.
You know, something happened, they didn't quite have the talent,
right?
They weren't able to keep working, and you know, I mean, even her road, like, in a sense, I guess you could say she was lucky. She starts doing a few gigs, people start following her, she starts to get discovered, and then all of a sudden someone offers her $1 million. And it seemed like that weird deal, like you got to pay it back or whatever. Like she knew to like stay away from it. But even with all that going on, how difficult of a road?
Well, I mean,
did she face
staying away from drugs and alcohol? Probably put her on a good path. That was one thing that I didn't know in that whole process. She always said she stayed away from that. So I imagine people in that predicament, a lot of them could turn to the substances, but she like rebounded well. You know what I mean? Like when she stayed away from that because she knew that she had something like that needed to be shared with the world, and to be able to.
That's probably the point when it goes really wrong.
Right,
is like things are already bad, and you maybe finding some sort of release. Like some sort of coping mechanism in the drug use, in not a healthy one, but one that allows you to forget and at least temporarily feel better. But that's when you can probably go off the rails really quickly.
Right.
I mean, no doubt. Was it that she opened for Bob Dylan too? That was like the big break for her, right? Yeah. She was saying.
Yeah.
And then she kicked someone out of that show for talking, and Bob Dylan really liked it. I thought it was great.
I've seen Bob Dylan. I've seen Bob Dylan live when he was like 70. It was pretty interesting. It was a different experience, I'm sure.
Really?
That's it.
He's a badass. Yeah,
he's a badass. That's awesome that she did that, though. Like, you could see a future star in somebody that would do something like that.
Yeah, that took confidence.
Right.
That definitely took some confidence. But at the end of the day, it was just messing with her show. Mm. She like just wanted to do a good show, and people are like, whatever, you're boring. And she said, get out, all with your place.
Right. I mean,
and then you hear all this, and we're like, what, like mostly halfway through the pod at this point, and all of a sudden she brings, and you think, well, your life must be great now. You're like discovered, you're making money, you reconnected with your mom, like how beautiful is all that? And then her mom embezzles around $100 million from her. What would that, like, what?
I mean, it's fucked up to do.
I mean, like, she's got to be a millionaire again now.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure she's fine. But it's
let me see what her what they think her net worth is. Though this these websites are bullshit.
I wonder what her mom's net worth is.
Yeah, probably still a lot. Oh, it's saying $14 million. So she's not struggling.
See what her mom's net worth is. Jewel's mom.
I don't think that that's going to be on there. Nah.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know if her mom still has the money.
Yeah, maybe her mom was being coerced. Her mom couldn't have been that smart to do that. That doesn't seem, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe she got in a bad...
Right.
Like, in with bad people, too, that, like, were milking her for cash. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure. Like, how do you spend $10 million a year?
Right. Well, that would...
That's a lot.
Oh,
God, what a horrible story. I mean, the ultimate fear is the one that you love the most fucks you over. Like, that's the biggest nightmare in
life. There's not an amount of money that could heal that wound.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
A lot of meditation. Well, she said she did those interesting things. Like, she would... What would she do? Like, instead of making a business plan, she made a happiness plan. I thought, what a great idea. Right. Like, I think everyone should do that.
It's,
you know?
I mean, to some people that sounds like woo-woo, but I think that in order to experience the experience that comes from that, you have to try. You at least have to try and then say that it was. But to just have, like, speculation, I don't know. I've tried some different things that I normally would have been very speculative of in the past, and they've panned out. So,
you mean skeptical?
What did I say? Spectacle?
Speculative. Okay. I think.
Well, yeah.
That might work too.
Skeptical. Correct. But
we just make up our own words in the podcast. I'm afraid, folks.
Anyway, yeah, 100 mil's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, but she's still doing good. Like, she has that. It's not like a rehab place.
No,
like to help out kids.
Yeah, she was
poor kids, and they're like good at tennis.
Right. She was
like,
she had some acronym for it. I can't remember what it was, but it was. He was like, "What is this?" And he's like, "Oh, you're teaching kids new and upcoming." I don't want to say progressive because it just seems like logical. All the things that she was describing, it all made sense.
Yeah, it sounds like a cool place though. Good for her. And, like, she's raising money for it to, like, set up more things.
He's like, when did you want to do this?
And they seem to both agree with each other on how they saw L.A., which is really no surprise coming from Jewel because, you know, she seems very connected to, like, how she feels and what she's doing. And, you know, not to rag on L.A., but, like, there's a lot of people there that, I guess, pretend that that's how they feel, but, you know, they just climb into the top of the social ladder.
Right.
They love it.
Oh.
And I get it. It's fun. I get it. It's fun to do.
Yeah, I mean.
But eventually you're going to be like, all right, whatever. I mean, what was it? Joe said the Hunter S. Thompson quote, L.A. is a graveyard of the future.
Yeah.
L.A. is the graveyard of the future.
What?
You know, I hope that's not true. I really do.
I live by the beach, boy. That's what I like.
And I'm you're an island. You're an island boy for sure. As soon as I saw those guys, I was like, "Yeah, Garrett could have won like very easily become this person." You and your brother, just island boying away.
Oh man, that was cool. That was a laughable situation.
I don't get the appeal with that song. I'm like, this song doesn't even make any sense. They're just saying the same stuff over and over. I think
you're just watching like something unfold that you can't believe that you're actually
watching. You're watching the world collapse in front of you when you're watching those two. It's like the scrawniest two white guys. Just painted.
I will say that
what's up with their hair?
It seemed like the Maury Povich show, but like 2012, the fast forward to 2021.
Yeah, like they're fighting over some girl that they got pregnant.
You both are the father. You both are the father.
Right. Now go live on your island. Anyway, I was super impressed.
I agree.
With Jewel. And I hope she does come back on. I thought it was just fascinating. I'm sure she has infinite stories.
Without a doubt.
And yeah, just so surprising. Like, it's so fun when you get those ones. I was like, oh, Jewel. This is going to be like the Miley Cyrus one. Like, maybe I'll skip
it. No, I liked them. I liked them. No chance. I liked them both.
You can't skip
them. I love the Miley Cyrus one, yeah. Too, to be honest.
All right, let's jump over to Chuck. I can't say his last name, and I'm a big fan of his writing, too. Polunik? Newick?
I believe so.
I don't know. Pala?
It sounds like a...
Shit. Yeah. I mean, you know, if Fight Club isn't one of the best movies of the night. Is it the 90s?
I think
it was
the best movies of all time. Would you not?
Yeah, it's one of
the best. I'd say top 10.
It's definitely up there. You know, obviously he gets right into book censorship and like censorship in general. Like, this guy's not going to like that. I don't know how they got on to Mr. Hands again. Like, why do we have to keep talking about this? Like, Joe mentioned this like last month. I'm like, dude, can we... No.
He's into it, bud.
I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. You're a big fan of that, aren't you?
That guy...
It's like, God, I missed the hands.
That guy's upbringing, too.
So odd.
That guy's situation with his father, too, huh?
That's crazy, that story of how his dad died. So, what was he was dating somebody, and ex-boyfriend had like molested her child.
Correct, but she had,
so she's putting him back in jail.
Which she had met him in jail. Just to clear up, she met this one dude in jail, got him out of jail. This dude molested her daughter. Then she met Chuck's dad. And then she tried to put the other guy back into jail, and that guy came back and murdered Chuck's dad.
Yeah, shot him right in the stomach or something.
Told her too. He's
just below the lungs.
He's obviously a crazy dude, but man, you wonder where these thoughts and these things stimulate. Because in the way that he was describing how he writes too, I think you probably made note of this. Like, he's like, I love to take people all the way to a spot and then rip the rug right out from underneath them. And I'm like, I wonder how much of that is dictated on your upbringing, because even you think of, I'm thinking what's popping into my head right now is the Brad Pitt moment where he is shot, and the whole movie like comes to that moment, and then like right at the end, and he's shot, he's killed himself, and you're like, oh shit, didn't see that one coming at all. Like, after all the thing, all the buildings are exploding and whatnot, you're like, oh man, there's like, I'm even like reminiscing that moment right now, I'm almost like, oh, taken aback, because he was like,
yeah. Now Edward Norton didn't actually die, right? He just kind of like shot out the side of his face, right.
Yeah,
his like cheek.
That's right.
But it was like symbolic, right, to killing Tyler. Right. And then yeah, that movie was so wild. I need to watch it.
Yeah,
again.
I know too.
I love that movie yeah. so much. It was so nuts.
Yeah,
and Brad Pitt is definitely my favorite movie with him, and he has some really good.
Edward Norton destroys that movie. That was just all good. Of everything came together well.
Oh, for sure, for sure. He said that he got his cards read, like those tarot cards or whatever. Oh, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't tell him what's up. They were like,
but
no,
there was like multiple experiences with that too. It wasn't just tarot cards. It was like a psychic and some other shit. It was like,
oh yeah, yeah,
three
yeah.
different things that all coincided that were, they were just, they were, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, I can't tell I can't. You. Like, imagine what you would say. You'd be like, hey, tell me. Like, what?
That's not,
I have to know.
I paid you. What are you I paid you to tell me, motherfucker, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to hear.
Yeah, maybe they were busy and just needed to get out of that. They were like, all right, well, we have your money, and I've got an appointment. So
I don't want to tell you about you killed dogs when in your 40s. I don't know. That's, I don't know what the worst thing you could say is, but...
Dude, could you believe... I couldn't even really understand the fact that he built that castle.
Oh, he was...
He's like, on my own, I built a castle out of granite.
And he's just saying they kept bringing mortar and kept bringing it, and I was like, wow, that's... sustainable.
Didn't he say he was in his 70s? How is that even
possible?
Dude,
he looks like a stud.
Yeah.
For sure.
But still, that's an impressive...
Right.
That's an impressive
he would bring the,
thing to pull
he
off.
He said he would bring the kids over from the community and they'd all like hang out and do all these like themed parties and stuff. He sounded like a...
Yeah, do a Halloween over there.
Yeah, he sounded like a fun dude to have in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. No doubt.
Where do you think...
And he does sound like he works out a lot because he said that he did roids in the past.
Right.
And then, obviously, Rogan's done them. Then he told the story that some doctor told him that steroids make your dick bigger. I think that's a dangerous thing to say on Rogan's podcast. I think if... spreading that kind of... I'm not saying it's not true or whatever, but he was like, yeah, that's what the doctor told... That's what
I've always heard the... I've always heard it. Did the exact opposite. Is that not what that was the narrative I knew my whole life, no?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it shrinks your balls because it, like, is doing something crazy with your testosterone, okay. But yeah, who knows? But imagine if that was, like, studied and found to be true.
Would you ever do steroids? I've never done steroids.
Oh, I've done steroids. Yeah, I did them when I was younger. Yeah, you get super strong and big really fast. But you have to come off them right. I mean, this was like early 2000s, so
now they got some. You know, they got that. They got.
I don't even know where they came from, like Afghanistan or something.
They got those Pfizer-roids now, son.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, technically, I think you can get them from your doctor now, for the most part. Right.
But it's called,
or at least testosterone. It's called testosterone.
I'm just trying to be open minded. I'm just trying to be open minded because everybody's like off. All the things you've put in your body, you won't get the vaccine. I'm like, all right, well, if we're going to do that, then I guess we'll just be open-minded to steroids, too. I mean, let's give that a shot. Fuck it. What are we doing? Let's find some battery acid, see if we can throw it in my body.
Get roided. What's the age that you think you would do it if you were going to? Like 50?
I don't know. I don't really, unless I felt like, I don't even know what I would, at what moment I would feel like I would need it, to be honest. I feel great, but...
Yeah, I mean, Jocko just released a video where some people that, like... I guess they're like, YouTubers that, like, will check out big people, and like, The Rock and others, and be, like, try and figure out if they're on something.
Are they?
And Jocko did a pod about it, and he was like, no, I'm not. I mean, he's just such a big guy for his age that...
Right.
But he goes, I've never tried him. I never have. Just never did.
I've done pre-workout and whey protein. I've never tried. Not that I'm against anybody trying anything, to be honest. Do anything you want, but I just haven't. It's interesting that I haven't, too, of all the things I've done, like doing cocaine and doing drugs and doing a lot of things I've done in my life. Why I was like, when he talked about it, too, he's like, it's interesting how people have that association. It's like, you try all these other things, but you won't try steroids. And I'm like, that's fair.
Do you have like a, not a stigma, but do you have like something against
it? I just always think that,
or it's just never.
Well, the way that I train, I always like to be able to, because I've had a few instances, and it sounds kind of douchey, but where people have approached me and been like, "What are you on?" And I'm like, "I'm not on steroids." And I had a guy ask me like, "Want to have lunch with me one time?" And sat me down. He's like, "Hey, man, I heard you're the guy." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" out of nowhere, I was just at a restaurant. I was like, and he was like, I heard you're the guy that gets the stuff. And I was like, what stuff? And he was like, steroids. And I was like, no, nah, dude.
You were like a steroid.
It was kind of like flattering.
You work out too much. That's what that's
it was flattering, but at the same time, I was like, no, man, I've never done it. And I was like, I appreciate it, but.
it's like a compliment. You look roided, yeah. Bro. Cheers.
He's like, I heard you're the guy with the roids. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, like people that were on it when I knew back in the day when I was lifting, they'd get real mad if you like accused them of it and they're on it.
Oh, right.
It was like, you know, because people see it as like a cheat code. Right. Like, oh, you're not really that big.
That's a,
so you must be on something and it makes them mad.
That's a silly perception to have. From that, I mean, it's like, yo, dude, yeah, you are taking stuff. You're putting that stuff in your butt. There's a reason that you're getting bigger than all of us. Like, coincides.
Yeah, right.
Coincides, chief.
Of course. Of course. So. One thing that Joe said that when he took them, I think, one time was for an injury. And it does speed up the recovery in injuries, which might actually be a good thing. Right. So that's probably a good time to consider.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a bad tear on your knee or something and like you're trying to rehabilitate yourself,
it's not a bad
like, that might not be a bad move.
I mean, and testosterone doesn't feel like anything that I'm lacking in at the moment, but I don't know. Would you? I don't know.
I don't know, dude. Like once you get to like 60,
right.
You know, it's hard to build muscle. Like it's so much harder then. It's going to get a lot more difficult.
Right.
And if there's ways to kind of mitigate it, and I don't know. I guess it would be nice if they did legalize more of them so that there were more studies into it and you could find the best setup for what you want to do, you know what right. I mean? Like you would know what the healthiest doses are and like you could do it with a doctor.
What would you
I'm sure there will be ways of doing it.
Gotcha. Would you consider not to go never want to come back to the vaccine, but would you consider the vaccine at this point a steroid for your immune system? When we're talking about the efficacy of it, wouldn't you say that that's
well, a steroid is technically like an actual compound, so it's not that. Okay. But if you're saying, is it a boost for your immune system, right.
or shooting more,
you know, is it something that?
Right.
That's generally what vaccines are, in a sense, like. It's supposed to boost your immune system against the particular thing that you're getting. At least that's the idea.
Right.
Whether it works like that, you know, with every vaccine, who knows?
Ugh.
Let's jump over to Rob Kearney, the bodybuilder.
Like this guy.
Glad that he was back on. Yeah, he's cool. He's like he's a really positive sounding guy. Bad, what did he say? He tore his bicep?
Tore his bicep. One ball going, this guy. But yeah, he tore his butt.
One ball.
Dude, when he told that story at 29, I'm 10 years older than him, I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know if I would have gone to get a test to even think that at 29. I don't know, he was...
Maybe you could feel it, though. If you could feel something in there, you might get
it
checked out.
The way he described it was like that shooting pain up into his stomach. And I was like, all right, it would have taken a serious pain, but who am I? He's world's strongest man. He's dealt with some pain, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. You know it must have. What did he say that he was lifting when he tore his bicep? Like 400 pounds or something? More than that.
I can't remember.
So much weight. Like above his head, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the overhead press. That's right. What a terrible one to do it.
Unbelievable. Oh. Right.
Remember that?
God, you could imagine not only you'd injure your arm, but then it would like fall on your
head.
Dude,
it's interesting having. It was like we had a similar frame of reference. Remember that guy that used to work at that bar we worked at? That came in, Magnus, what was his name?
Oh, Martin Lusch.
Oh, Martin Lusch, that guy was...
Martins?
Yeah, nicest guys in the world, too, like, he was...
Oh, so nice, shout out to Martins,
sure.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I liked hanging out with him, because he always rode those giant electric bikes around. Venice and Santa Monica.
Him and his sidekick, he was like the big dog with his little Pomeranian... buddy that hung around
with him. Yeah, his like really skinny friend that didn't lift any weights. Yeah, Martin's a great guy. I loved hanging out with that guy.
So it seemed like it had some...
Eat two giant burgers every time he'd come in, fully loaded, plus bacon. That's how he rolled.
Not mad at that guy.
No messing around.
Not mad.
Yeah.
Well, they were saying that Martins has like really good range of motion. Like he's super flexible with his lifts, right, which is really unusual. And what is unusual about him, Martins, is he was so young when he won World's Strongest Man. Like usually they're older when they get that kind of power. Right. But Martins has been able to do it.
How old was he?
Really young. I don't know, man. I think he was in his 20s when he won.
I remember where.
Which is super unusual. He won the Arnold Classic, the one they do, I think it was on the pier, actually, in Santa Monica. Right. And then the next year, he was talking to me about training for the World's Strongest, and that's when he won it. He was pretty sure he was going to, too. You probably need that mindset, though, because it's so intense.
I remember what...
But he said all the lifters are, like, really close. Right. They get on well. They all encourage each other. Like, it's a cool community of sports.
He's like, we're moving rocks and throwing big stuff. Like, the primal thought of it was pretty indicative.
Dude, some of the stuff they do is so insane. It's incredible that a human being can do that. I mean, they're barely humans because they're so massive, but it's pretty insane. Didn't they say that they use smelling salts before competition, and now Joe wants to get some? I'm like, this might be a bad idea.
He's like,
Joe,
get the strongest and the most effective.
Yeah.
He's like, no, no.
Imagine if that was the thing that brings down the Rogan Empire. He just gets addicted to smelling
salts. Rob was like, I don't really use those ones. Joe's like, get those ones.
Yeah, get those now. Oh, man. Hilarious.
That dude was incredibly smart too, and articulate, you know what I mean? It's got to be the things that he was talking about, dealing with being one of the biggest dude in world. I think his Instagram handle was World's Strongest Gay. It's like he just owns it and is a champion because of it. And
yeah, well, they did, you know, they obviously talked about homophobia. Right. And like, you know, did you notice a lot of that growing up in Arizona? Was there a lot of homophobia?
Not really, but at the same time, I don't really remember any experiencing it either. I think that I don't know. I would
growing up in England wasn't really like that. We didn't, where I lived. I lived in the West Country near Bristol, and it was never an issue. Like people, I think I just always known gay people growing up, and so it was just, you know, it was just regular, like, everyday life. It wasn't really until I moved to New Mexico when I was 13, back in, what is that, like 1997, and you know, there's a lot more religion there, so people kind of have a different type of thinking, and that's when I started to notice it. I remember I had this buddy, this cowboy buddy from Texas, that was like always arguing with me about how it's just wrong. And I'm like, do you even know any gay people? And he's like, no. He goes, I wouldn't want to. I'm like, why? What are you talking about? Like, what? How can you dislike something that you don't even know anyone that... It was just strange to me. I was like, all right, dude.
I feel like growing up in Arizona, I probably had some kind of stigma of it wasn't the norm. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I never felt some kind of way, and I wasn't, like, driven to feel some kind of way. I grew up in the Christian church, but they didn't really, like, I don't really remember them, like, harping on that as a thing. I think that's kind of just case in time. I don't know. But...
Well, I mean, that was a tough thing for him when he went to... Where did he say it was? Like, Ghana?
Right.
Somewhere in Africa.
Yeah, and he couldn't...
And it was, like, illegal to be gay there.
They were like, people have been arrested, and these guys was in jail for, like, 7 years for being gay. And you're like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
So he had to make the choice about, like, whether he wanted to go over there, but it was the first World's Strongest Man he'd been invited to. So he felt like it was important. But now that, you know, he's a bit more well-known for this, he wouldn't go...
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and he probably doesn't want to get arrested either.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
It's probably not a great move to go over.
It seems like he's doing well for himself. I mean, in all perspective terms, but he's still on. He's just turned 30. He's a younger dude, so he's living his life.
He's got a lot of powerlifting ahead of him. Hopefully, that bicep heals up.
Right, the rehab. When you say, when Joe's like, "Where are you at?" and he's like 80%, and you think 80%, he was lifting 400 pounds. That means he can still lift.
My God,
dude, isn't that?
That's unbelievable.
Well, have you ever?
Yeah, they kind of ended it with a bit of the Dave Chappelle controversy. Right. We haven't talked a lot about that, but like, he's getting a lot of pushback from the trans community. What's weird about it? I mean, I'm always going to be pro comedy, and I love Dave too. So it's a tough one because I'm like, you know, he's a good, caring person. And he's also trying to make us laugh. And he is undeniably funny.
100%.
Like, even if something he says you don't like, the way he did it, like, he is one of the best stand-ups of all time, for sure.
But,
and when you listen to it, it's a lot of it is like just, it just seemed to me like he had this friend that he cared about a lot that's, there was a trans person, and he stuck up for this person, and they opened up for him, and then the trans community like bullied her, and she killed
herself.
Dude,
I can't. That's the only story. That's what happened. Like, I don't know to like pick a different side.
I think Joe's right. I think a lot of people just didn't watch the special, and they're just jumping on board. Dude, they're making that choice.
That's what happened. That's actually what happened. Like, the way he tells it, he's like. And for Dave, it's probably, I'm thinking to myself too, like, not that I would have to go out of my comfort zone, but I can't tell you that I have any trans friends personally. I would be more than happy to, but I'm telling you, it's probably for him to have the whole controversy and everything that went down, and then for him to step out of his, like, not to praise him or whatever, but like, you're stepping out of your bubble, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and interact, and I'm going to have an experience and try and develop my own perspective on this situation. Which he did, and not to like, again, not to praise him, but, and then he comes out and tells a story, and it's like a backlash. It's just like, did you guys watch it? Because he's talking about somebody's life here. He's not, I don't know. And so I appreciate.
I mean, it probably makes him more mad in a sense, because the
right.
hate that came down is the same hate that came down on his
and
friend.
And which caused her and death.
Seeing how powerful
which
it is.
Which caused her death, you know?
Right. If her life wasn't, you know, full of enough challenges,
right. You guys,
she has to take that from her own community.
Right. Like,
it must have been brutal for her. Imagine what she was going through. And I think that's the story he was trying to convey.
I know that was the story he's trying to convey. Like, that was, that's what it came, it came across.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It makes me sad. It's like, fair play to Netflix for standing up for
Agreed.
Him. You know? And plenty of different places are, but I think it's just more of the same. It's just showing the power of cancel culture, and at the end of the day, I think really all anyone can do is, as an individual, just kind of take a stand against it. Say no. Freedom of speech and freedoms are important, right. and
I agree.
Allowing people to have their freedom allowed the trans movement to gain as much momentum as it has.
I agree.
Which good for them.
I do want to say that I appreciated Joe kind of pushing back on the narrative whenever Rob brought up, like, I'm still in a quandary when it comes to, are people that are one gender allowed to participate in another gender sport? I know it doesn't come, but we've had this conversation before, and I'm doing this because how can a man go to a woman's sport and say he's a woman and then dominate? It's like, I'm defending that side. It's like, you don't see it the other way. You don't see a woman coming over to the man's side and dominating a sport. It's like,
yeah, I don't think that anyone
seem
that's kind of against
it doesn't seem fair. It's like, that just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, especially with fighting,
right.
Powerlifting,
like, what,
stuff like that. It seems really unusual.
I don't understand how we're.
It's like, you're gonna come in and
who are we
and just
as a man? I'm
now?
Not defending that. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't get it. I defend the other side. I defend the other side. If you want to do that and come on this and become a man and like do that, I'm all for it. It just doesn't seem like it. Seems like you got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe it would work with like ballet.
Yeah.
Gymnastics.
Right, but you don't...
If a woman became a man, like, they could win the male gymnastics.
Let's do...
It'd be like way more
Let's
flexible. Flipping like 50 more
can we,
times.
Can we get that done? I'm in on that.
That yeah, that wouldn't be too
let's
bad.
Swing,
I'd be like,
let's
right,
swing the pendulum
let's
that
see
way.
How this goes. All right, guys. Well, that it wraps up the week. An interesting week of thinkers and storytellers, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, and again, shout out to Jewel.
I was going
to
say, let's give another shot.
Unbelievable. Big fan. I'm a big fan. Well done, Jewel.
To all of them.
I hope you get your 100 million back.
You'll get that 100 mil.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, as always, guys, for listening, and for Garrett for joining in and not clanging around too much this time. Pretty good. Yeah, slightly less clanging. And, yeah, that's it. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great week.
Peace and love, guys.